Good morning. That's a wonderful song. And it's something that we have to remember. The enemy tries to get us to forget that we are on the winning side. Did you know that this battle has already been fought and won? Amen. This battle has already been fought and won. You are the victor. You have the victory. One of the songs we sing, he says, you shall have the victory if you count it. So, all right, because the enemy is going to come against you and he's going to try to get you to concede the victory that you already have. May the Lord help us. But God has something special for us. He's got something that will help us to stand in these difficult times and be faithful unto the Lord. May the Lord help us this morning. I want you to pray for us this morning. Inspired in the Lord this morning. Lord gave us something. And I said, Lord, this is a good message. It's not because I'm preaching it, but it's a good message. It was good to me. And so I said, Lord, help me to get this out and may it be a blessing to somebody else. Help me, Lord, to present it in a way that be pleasing and honoring unto you. And so I want you to be praying for us this morning. The title of this discourse is called The Blame Game. The Blame Game. May the Lord help us. The enemy of all souls wants you to take responsibility for all these things. And then if he can get you to do it, then he really can work with that. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So be praying for us. The Bible says the accuser of the brethren is cast down. That's found in Revelation. We're going to read that later. But I want you to know that the enemy will blame you for things. Blame is defined as assign responsibility for a fault or wrong. Make negative statements about an individual or group. And so that's what blame means. And the enemy of all souls is looking for a purchase point, something to allow him access, allow him the opportunity to get in between you and God, to divert you or to knock you off path, to knock you off the course of life that God has already set for you. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. And he's got to find what I'm finding is he's got to have an opportunity that you'll have to give it to him if he's going to do these types of things. Pray for us this morning. What he wants to do is he wants you to cooperate with his plan. He wants you to come off of the winning side and onto the losing side. And so you have to be a cooperator in that process. And so what he does is he uses the blame game to unseat you if you're not careful. Pray for us this morning. The enemy wants to fight us here, but we're going to win by the help of the Lord. We have won by the help and grace of God. So his strategy is to use the blame game. Someone go with me. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 and read us. If you beat me there, go ahead and read it for us this morning. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. May the Lord help us. All right.
His device.
All right, I want you to get a hold of that second part of that scripture especially. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage. But that second part says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And so the enemy is devious. Notice that the word devious and device, they kind of sound the same. Matter of fact, devil sounds like devious and device. All right, and so what he uses is trickery. He uses trickery. The song we used to sing when we were kids, the devil is a sly old fox. What's the next thing he says? If I could catch him, I'll put him in a box. I'll lock that box and then do what? Throw away the key, all those tricks he played on me. The enemy is tricky. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to expose something that he's been doing for a long time, and he's been very, very successful with this trick here. This is the blame game we're talking about this morning. And so my goal is to expose him, and I want to provide clarity. I want to do away with the obscurity surrounding what the devil does, one of the tools that he uses to cause us harm. Somebody go with us to Matthew 4 and 1. We're going to read down to verse number 3. The first thing that we need to know is the devil is a tempter. All right? He is a tempter. He has many different designations. He has many different, I'm not going to call them qualities. I'm not going to call them attributes. It's just what he does. All right? So there's one of the things that he does, one of the main things that he does, is he tempts us. And the reason why he tempts us is to pull us away from God. To take us off the beaten path and onto the losing side, like we already mentioned. So in Matthew 4 and 1, we'll read on down through verse number 3. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. First scripture in this chapter talks about being led of the Spirit. If you're going to be successful as a child of God, then you are going to learn how to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus himself was led of the Spirit, and he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You as a child of God, if Jesus had to do it, what do you think you're going to have to do? Not only are you going to have to walk in the Spirit, but you're going to have to also and likewise learn how to put away bread and water in order to get what it is that you need from the Lord. You want clarity. You want a closer walk with the Lord. Be willing to put away bread and water to get what it is that you need from the Lord. When you are in these places, you're in a place of strength. When the enemy comes, then you can tell the devil, get somewhere, go somewhere. You are not my friend. I am not your friend. You're on that side, and I'm on this side. May the Lord help us this morning. Sometime you and I have to learn to live in a way that be pleasing and honoring unto God. Salvation is good, but you got to go on to perfection. You got to be willing to give your all to the Lord if you're going to be pleasing and honoring unto God. So what happened here? Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So he knew what was going to happen. I want you to pull out in verse number 3. The tempter, it calls the devil the tempter. Him and those that are in his employ, that's what they do. Their job on this earth is to pull you away and to steal from you what God has already destined for you to have. May the Lord help us. The Bible says, I know the thoughts that I have of thee, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So God's expectation for you is to make heaven your home. God wants you to do that, and he provided a way for you to do that. And then he went and made a mansion for you to live in. And so he's showing his intent for your life. And in contrast to that, the devil, hell was made for the devil and his angels. So if you go there, he's got to tempt you away from from God's way and then convince you to go to a place that wasn't made for you in the first place. I want to encourage you today that God has something better for you. And I want to notify you that the enemy is a tempter. That's what he does. And so you and I do not have to give him audience. All right? You don't have to give the enemy audience. When I get finished explaining to you, he's not only a tempter, but he's some other things too. I alluded to it. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a liar. He's a murderer. All of these things is what the enemy is. Not only is a lie, he's a father of lies. He's an abuser. He's an accuser. We're going to talk about all those things. Why would you give someone like that an audience? May the Lord help us. May the Lord stand by and be with us. So what we wanted to pull out of this is that if he'll tempt Jesus, he will tempt you. He's going to tempt you. And he's not a friend of you, and so you don't have to give him audience. Tempt means to entice or attempt to entice. For someone to do or acquire something And I want you to pay special attention to this, that they find attractive, but know to be wrong, not only that, but and not beneficial. All right? So it goes beyond something being right or wrong, but temptation is things that we can involve ourselves in that they're not right. It's not about whether they're right or wrong. They're just in the wrong direction. They come from the wrong source. I don't care what it is. It's not going to help us. We need to stay away from that. May the Lord help us this morning. And so what the enemy wants to do is, the Bible says in James 4:17, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so the enemy comes and he knows what we know. If you are a child of God, you ought to be grateful today because you know something about God. If you grew up amongst the saints and you have been to Sunday school a time or two, you know something. You know what is right. You know what you should be doing. And so that's a blessing. Some people look at that and they say, well, if I didn't know all these things, then I wouldn't have to do all these things. You're going to want to know those things when you got to go see Jesus in the end. You want to know what you're supposed to have done and what you're supposed to have not done. That way you can get ready before you go. It's a blessing to have knowledge of the truth. And I want to encourage you, don't look at it in a negative way. It's a good thing to know about the Lord. All right, so it says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The definition of tempting is when you are enticed or you are pulled away from what you know is right. All right? And so when the tempter comes, that's what his job is. Those that are in his employ, that's what they do. But I want to encourage you that you don't have to fall to temptation. There's a song we sing sometime. It says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. It is not a sin to be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted, but the yielding is where the sin is. And we can prepare ourselves and be in a place where when that temptation comes, we can resist temptation. The song we sang earlier, talking about standing firm, it says, sin resisted what? Tempts no longer. Faith in conflict does what? Waxes stronger standing firm, you see. And so God strengthens us through this process. So we don't have to yield to temptation. Yield not to temptation. All right, I want to read here in John. Somebody go with me. John 8 and verse number 44. I want you to pay special attention to the whole verse. But the second half of that verse is something that we need to get a hold of. This is who you're listening to when you're listening to the enemy and those that are in his employ. Remember the title of this discourse, The Blame Game. All right, go ahead. Ye are your father, the devil.
Your father, ye will do.
And the lust of your father, ye will do.
He was a murderer.
He was a murderer from the beginning.
Abode
not in truth.
There is no truth.
No truth in him.
When he speaketh a lie.
He speaketh a lie when he's talking. He's speaking of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. All right, so listen. It's talking about the fact that the enemy. This is Jesus talking to some wicked people. And he was telling them where they were at and what they were doing. But this also is identifying the enemy of all souls. Remember, I told you there are many things that the enemy is, and you need to know about them. Because you need to know who you're listening to if you're listening to him. You need to know who you're talking to if you're talking to him. It says here that he was a liar. He's the father of it. He's a murderer from the beginning. All right? And so the enemy, when he comes to you, it is not a surprise that he would intermix with the truth that he's presenting to you. If he is a liar, what is he going to do? He's going to lie to you. Now, just because he starts off with truth or sprinkles some truth there in the middle somewhere doesn't mean that he's not a liar. A liar is what they are, and that's what they're going to do. Somebody might tell a lie, but they say, Lord, I told this lie. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. They're not a liar because they had that mishap. Once you're saved, you are no longer a sinner. Does that make sense? But if that's what you are, and that's what you're going to do. All right, a snake will bite you even if he lights you. It's not his fault. He's just a snake. You understand? And so this is how the enemy is. He's a liar. And so what he's going to do is he's going to, even if he give you some truth, he's going to intermix some lie. So we got tempter, we got liar, and we got murderer. This is who you're talking to and who you're listening to if you're listening to the enemy of all souls and talking to him. I encourage you, you don't have to talk to him. You don't have to give him audience. May the Lord help us. So what he does is he comes to tempt us. And when he comes to tempt us, what he does, and I want y'all to listen to me. This is very important to the message this morning. What he does is he invests a lot of resources into getting you to fall to temptation. Because this is where the blame game begins. Listen to me. I'm giving you something this morning that the Lord gave us. This is important. He will invest tons of resources. Sometimes you have a battle in your spirit and it goes on for hours and days. You see, because he knows if I can get this person, then I've got something to work with. Now, I'm going to interject this and I'm going to come back to it later, but I'm going to interject this in here. Just put it in your back pocket. We'll talk about it later. Sometimes the blame game works in reverse too. Listen to me. Do you know that you can come to somebody and you can tell them, you know what, you are a liar. All you do is lie. And you just not a good person. And they say, me a liar? Me not a good person? Oh no. And they believe that. And then from that, you can manipulate them more easily. Okay? But in most cases, not all, but in most cases, what he does is he starts with the temptation. So we're back to the temptation. It's something that I know I shouldn't be doing, and he's presenting me with this temptation. He's investing all of these resources to get me to fall. Because once I fall, what's the next step? This is important. Once I fall, where do all those resources that he invested in getting you to fall, what happens to them? Do you notice that once you have failed, all that investment that he made into getting you to fall, do you notice that they take off? Are you listening this morning? I hope you are. Because once they take off, then another entity shows up. You see what you done did? Look what you did. Stay with me. See, what he wants to do is once he has tempted you, and if you have fallen to temptation, then the blame game is on now. All those tempting parties, they take off. So he simultaneously, as he's inserting the next thought is, look what you did. You shouldn't have done it. You wrong. You know you're wrong. It's all you. But what about the tempter, though? What about all the, see, so let me ask you a question. Is it just you that did all of this? Or does he have some responsibility in this deal? He does, doesn't he? I want to present to you this morning that if we do fall and if we do fail, it is on us to God. My soul is continually in my hands. I've got to go to God and get that right with God. But it is not all my fault. If it was, then why would he be going to hell then? Why would the enemy, why was it made for him and his angels? He does. So, but that's already a for God. That's a done deal already. And so we never think about that. But what he does do is the second thing he does is he accuses us. Must I by Satan be accused and with his galling yoke abused? He's an abuser. Until at last by heaven refuse the blood of Jesus cleanseth.
So what he does is he invests all this energy and time into tempting you. And once you have fallen to the temptation, he sends those people away so you don't notice that they had anything to do with it. And he begins to blame you. Why? Because if you take on that blame, he really got you now. He got you now. You did it. You shouldn't have done it. It's your fault. And so, therefore, whatever you got coming, you deserve it. You see? You say, why won't they get saved? They know what is right. I see that they're not enjoying sin. God is calling for their heart. You see? But that wicked one, he keep telling them, something wrong with you. You can't do right. It's your fault. You see? And so they are bound in the mind by that thinking. May the Lord help us. He came to set the captives free. He came to set at liberty them that are bound. And one of the greatest bondage is this stuff right here. He'll get you to do wrong, and then he'll ride that, if he can, all the way into hell. He'll ride you all the way into hell. Something is wrong with you. You tried to do right, and you keep on messing up. See, you got a problem. Well, why don't you stop tempting me then? What about that? Is that not valid? Is that not a part of the equation? But we know that that's not going to happen. Because he's a tempter from the beginning. He's a liar from the beginning. He's an abuser from the beginning. He's an accuser from the beginning. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's all of that. We know what he is. And so why are we listening to him? And why do we let him do us like this? We don't have to. In your own personal life, sometimes you have a struggle with something. And you keep falling to that something. One of the ways that he is beating you on this deal, I'm telling you this morning, is when you fall, he's jumping on your back and pointing all the fingers at you. You are solely responsible for this, and something is wrong with you. And what is implied in that is since you're the problem, you'll never be okay. What a liar! It's God that worketh in us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. God can change us, even if we are the problem, which we're not solely the problem, but even if we are, God can change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Through Christ, I can do all things. So, I know he's telling somebody here that you are the problem. Why? This is why you keep doing this, and you'll never be able to get right, because something is wrong with you. Even if something is wrong with you, God is able and well able to keep you from falling. See, he's trying to involve you in his consequences. That's what he's doing. Remember the song, On the Winning Side? He wants you to come over to his side. But in order for him to get you on his side, he has to get you to do something wrong. Then he can start the blame game. And sooner or later, you begin to accept that you'll never be able to do right. And as evidenced by all the failures that you've already had, right? He tries to use truth to validate the lie. You have failed. You have fallen. You do have an area maybe in your life that you haven't been successful in yet. Yet. Then will you know if you follow on to know? Okay? God's able.
Yes, he is.
The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Sometimes why we're falling is because we don't know his way yet, or we haven't gotten rid of our own yet. There are many reasons why we are falling. None of them is the fact that something is so wrong with us that we can't live right. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And so the blame game. Let's read some scripture. Remember, I said that what he does is he tries to get you to take on sole responsibility. Now, I'm not telling you to do this, but I will tell you what I do sometime. I blame him. I do. I blame him for his part in the problem. It's my job to fix it with Jesus. God's going to help me fix it. But I blame him too. And that way, the next time he come talking to me, then I use the blame game against him. Last time I listened to you, thus and so, and thus and so happened. And so, let's start there. Maybe I don't listen to you this time. How about that? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And so, we have a refuge. My favorite, my single, if I had to choose one scripture, which I couldn't do, but if I had to do it, my single most favorite scripture in the Bible that has kept me all these many years by the grace of God is Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We will never be farther, we will never be so far from God that he can't reach us and he can't help us. All right? God can do anything, and he can reach us. I have a message on omnipresence and omniscience, but I haven't written it down yet, but God gave me some on that too. God is everywhere and knows all things all at the same time and can address your need and his need and they need and everybody else's need all at the same time. He knows and he cares. And so God knows about you, and he's there in the temptation. It said, there's a scripture that said there's no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. So all of these temptations are common to man. But what we have to do is understand that the enemy is investing all this energy on that because he's going to ride that. He's going to jump on our back. But we know that he's a murderer. We know that he's a liar. Revelations 12:10, it talks about that too. We're not going to go there for the sake of time. The Lord is blessing me with my time. I know you guys haven't really experienced it as much yet. But the Lord can get the message to us and he can help us with things quickly. I want us to understand that he's a liar, he's a tempter, he's an accuser, he's an abuser. And what he does is he teaches people to do this stuff too. And so a lot of times when people are this way, they don't know it. It's something we can pick things up along the way as we're growing up, and we carry them into our relationships with other people, with our husbands, our wives, our children, our co-workers. And so we become a certain way. And a lot of times we're not exactly aware of it. I'm going to speak to this one thing, and I don't know anything about you personally and I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I just know that this is what the enemy does, and I'm exposing him this morning. I'm going to speak to parents specifically. And Lord, help us. You pray for me. Because this is difficult to say. Sometimes children are kind of set up for failure because their parents unbeknownst to their parents, they were kind of how the devil is. Sometimes parents, they can be very hard on their children. And their children, maybe their children did something wrong, and they won't let them up. You did something wrong, you failed, whatever. And then 2 years later, we still refer them back to that. What is that telling that child? Something is wrong with you. You see? God had to help me because I didn't know. I got saved and I had a spirit of anger. I got saved and I had a spirit of anger. I had a vengeful spirit. I had a unforgiving spirit. And I also had a daughter named Kasiah. And the Lord dealt with my heart. You need salvation, people of God. You need salvation because you'll never even know you got these problems, because you'll find a justification for why you're doing it. Just because you don't grab your child and slap them and throw them on the ground don't mean you don't have a spirit of anger. You can speak to your child in a way that they know that you are angry at them. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And so this is the way you can deal with your children all the time. You never touch them, and people are very proud of that. I never whip my kids, but every time I talk to them, harshly and very, very judgmentally, and this is what the child is receiving, and this is telling them something about themselves. They are starting off with a mindset that I'm not good enough anyway. I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I can't even please my parents. How am I gonna please God? So God dealt with me. You gotta get rid of this anger. You got to get rid of this critical spirit. When your pride is injured and your daughter embarrasses you, you want to let her know about it every chance you get. She's hurting. And the devil is doing this. Mm-hmm. Because that's how he operates. You know that a child is going to mess up? Do you know that? Some children gonna mess up more than other children. Some children don't have the capacity or the capability to do what it is you're asking them to do in the first place. And so they set up from the beginning. And then if we come in and say, man, son, I told you to do this. Daughter, I told you to do this, and this is what you did. I'm disappointed in you. Inside, they are crying. They are hurting. And the devil is doing this. Oh, I got one now. Because you know what else is happening? He's talking to him. That liar, that accuser, that abuser, he can't wait to get his hands on them children. Amen. See? And what he's going to do is the same thing that you are doing now. He's going to tempt them. They're going to fail. When they do, he's going to stand on their neck until God deliver them. So God dealt with me, thank God. I'm not telling you I'm the perfect parent by no way, shape, or form. But one of my goals in life is to be a good parent to my children, a good husband to my wife, a good co-worker to my co-workers, and on and on and on. I can't do that unless I'm willing to allow God to say to me, this is what you got on hand, and if you don't get a hold of it, you're going to be doing harm everywhere you go, and you don't even know it. And so what happens is sometimes parents, sometimes husbands, sometimes wives, I've seen this. One of the spouses, they're just critical. Don't matter what you do. It don't matter. Husband is laboring, doing all he can, working two jobs and bringing the money home and doing everything he's supposed to do. Or the wife, it could be the wife, doesn't matter. We're not exalting either one, but this is what kills marriages, these types of things. Bring them flowers. I don't like these kind of flowers. Buy them some too. What I'm going to do with these? You just trying to work me some more. The devil teaches people how to be. He teaches them from a young age before they really know what they're accepting and taking on. Through salvation, God is able to shine the spotlight on who we really are. And when God does that, then it's our job to do what, Brother Tavis? Respond. And when we respond, then that enables us to become more and more like him. Which, by the way, if the enemy of all souls is all those other things we talk about, then God is on the other and total opposite end of all of that. He's love and joy and peace. He's long-suffering. He's bearing and forbearing. He's grace. He's goodness. He's all of those things, right? And God wants to put that in you and put it in me. But he can't do that if we're not willing to allow him to do that with us. Matter of fact, good way to know, young people of God, if you're saved and you don't know if it's God or the devil that's talking to you, the devil will be accusatory. God will deal with you in love. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so he comes to you in love. Son, daughter, listen, what you did was wrong there. You need to make that right. I'll give you grace. I'll help you. Ask me for it, but go make it right. And let me make you better. I'm going to make you better. Now that's God. The devil will come, and he's going to be something different. It's going to sound different. You done messed up again, ain't you? You just can't seem to get right. Why don't you give up while you still can? Give up while it's still fashionable. This is what the enemy does. Okay? And some of us, listen, this is for everybody. Some of us have been affected by these things. Some of us are in a place where we're affecting others. Some of us, it's a combination. I don't know, but I know this is what God gave me, the blame game. I can't even get to all this, and I'm not going to even try. I believe we got something to go on to start with anyway. I want to recap briefly, and you pray for me. The enemy is an accuser. He's an abuser. He's a tempter. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a robber. John 10:10, what does it say? Thief coming not but to what? Steal. Kill. Destroy. Steal what? You know that? Do you know that's right? A thief. You know when somebody is, the scripture starts off as the thief. A person that is a thief, that's who they are. It's what they do. Right? It's an occupation. It's a designation. And so when it comes to somebody that's like that, they don't care what they steal. They'll steal anything because that's what a thief does. When I'm talking about the enemy of all souls, that's what I'm talking about. That's who he is. There's no other way to look at it. And that's what he does. And so he's going to do these things if you let him. The last thing I want to say before I sit down, I appreciate your prayers, your time, your attention for me. I feel like I didn't get it like I wanted to, but I'm trying to get to it. Because I want you to understand it. He's going to do these things. I said before, I said it again. I said I'll come back to it. Sometimes the Christian, the child of God, they are under such heavy accusation that they feel like they've done something wrong. They come to the altar and they say, I feel like I've done something wrong. And then we say, what'd you do? And they say, I don't know. Do you know if you've done something wrong, you'll know it? It's a whole book to tell you if it's wrong. If you can't find it in there, it ain't in there. Holy Spirit will let you know if you do something wrong. But that accuser, sometimes he'll accuse you or blame you before you do something wrong. He's trying to, because the idea is, if you're already dirty, then you may as well stay dirty. See? So he begins to accuse you and badger you. I want to encourage you today that you are not, I'll say this again, you don't have to take that. God is mighty to save and to keep, and you don't, I don't, listen, he'll, if you let him, he'll be talking to you about stuff that you did back in sin. You'll be saved for years, and he still, look, you, but you still did that though. You still did it. The blood of Jesus cleanses. Not only are you clean, but he took that sin and cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. You got to do some new sinning if you're going to be in trouble with the Lord again. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying that sin don't count no more. It got wiped out. Praise God. You can remember it, but he don't even remember it against you. So, the blame game. God wants to provide a way for us to think properly. Somebody get the scripture. I'm going to try to not mess it up too much. But this is a mind thing. This battle happens in the mind. And so we need our minds to be renewed sometimes. What's that scripture that talks about, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has the ability to make new our minds. And we need that if we're going to be, if you are a Christian and you keep falling to something, sometimes what's happening is the heart is right, but the mind is not right yet. And so you need your mind renewed. There are certain things that will hinder you from getting your mind renewed. And once you get those things out of the way, you bring those things and you lay them at the cross, at the feet of Jesus. He'll take them and get rid of them for you and then give you a new mind. I don't have to think about all the wrong that I used to do. I don't have to vicariously get a thrill from those types of things. Those things are horrible to me. I hate them. I don't ever want to do those things again, and I don't ever want to be in those positions ever again. New mind. At one point, back in the day, I used to love those things, used to enjoy those things, but no longer. Let worldly minds the world's pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. Free. I am from sin set free. This world has now no charms for me, for Christ has set me free. I'm free now. Read that scripture, please. I'm going to sit down.
Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
What else does it say?
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
How can you even know what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God if your mind hasn't been renewed? The enemy wants to keep you double-minded. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you've given your heart to God, but there's some double-mindedness which is hindering you on your journey. Amen. Bring that to the Lord.
Amen.
I'm tired of this, Lord. I'm tired of it.
Yes.
And I'm bringing it to you.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. I'm glad that God is able to do all these things.
Yes.
I'm glad that he has exposed something today. I didn't do a great job of exposing it, but I hope that you got some of it at least.
Amen.
And it can help you to get to where you need to be.
Yes.
God is in the business of saving and keeping souls. He's in the business of getting us to heaven. And so may the Lord stand by and be with us. May he bless us and may he help us. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. I'm not going alone. I want you to go with me.
Yes.
You may as well. It's the best place to be anyway.
Right.
So pray for me. I will be praying for you.
Amen.
Thank you.